Bachelor number one, what is your name, please?
Cash Patel.
Cash Patel.
Oh, it's John and Gordy in for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Phone lines are open, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC.
Special guest this hour is Jim Santel, Amicus, a law review, and that is on every Saturday, 9 to 11 o'clock. Great coverage of all the legal issues that are going on in this country, and it is like your time, Jim. this next 4 years is just going to be your time.
Yeah. Can you imagine how boring the world would be if Kamala Harris and Tim Walz had been elected? What would we have to talk about, right? Fairly seriously, too, right?
Government as usual, maybe helping people out, homes.
Yeah. Doing things to advance the nation, right?
Right, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the other aspect of this, of course, is even as we've talked about preparing for our discussion this afternoon, every time that I think about, again, whether it's Saturday, obviously your show in the mornings, you can actually not prepare for anything anymore because you know by the time you do, if you invest hours, as Calvin does as well, in putting all sorts of things together, you know by the time air is up that it will all change and there'll be something even more catastrophic that has taken its place, right? What a world, what a country we're living in.
I know. Yeah. I prepare all night long and all day, and then I come in the morning, and Gordy says, "Hey, did you hear this? This is..." And I'm like, "Oh no! Five stories just changed on me."
The fire hose never shuts off.
It's absolutely crazy. I'll tell you what. We got some really good, important stuff that you wanted to talk about. I saw this just recently, and I think everybody's seeing this on X or on social media, and it is a Tufts graduate student grabbed off the street by federal immigration officials. It is really, truly unsettling. I want to play NBC's audio of this and ask a few legal questions at the end of this. All right, Jim?
Yes, please.
All right, this is cut 159, and it is truly disturbing just to see the video of this, how it can happen. And this is happening in our country now. Stuff we're used to hear about. Mm-hmm. Cut 159?
Okay.
Cut 159.
It's a Veep clip.
A Veep.
Okay. We'll check the number on that.
I'm sorry.
What?
259.
259.
We're in the 200s now. That's right. I'm sorry about that. Yeah,
we got it.
All right. Let's check it out.
This is the moment Tufts University graduate student Rumaysa Ozturk was arrested and taken into federal custody. Doorbell camera footage obtained by NBC News shows two plainclothes officers approaching the 30-year-old in Somerville outside of Boston. Ozturk at first appears to back away before more agents approach, one eventually taking her phone out of her hand.
Okay.
Officers then take her backpack off, handcuff her, and lead her across the street to a car. An onlooker heard questioning why the officers' faces are covered. Ozturk's lawyer says she was on her way to break Ramadan fast with friends on Tuesday night when she was detained without explanation. She says her client, a Turkish national, was in the U.S. working toward a Ph.D. in child study and human development on a valid F-1 visa, which allows foreign nationals to pursue academics without the intention of immigration. In a statement, the Department of Homeland Security today, writing in part, DHS and ICE investigations found Ozturk engaged in activities in support of Hamas, a foreign terrorist organization that relishes the killing of Americans. Glorifying and supporting terrorists who kill Americans is grounds for visa issuance to be terminated. DHS did not reference specific incidents, but in March of last year, Ozturk co-authored an op-ed for Tufts student newspaper, condemning the university's dismissive nature and condescending tone when responding to calls for the school to acknowledge the Palestinian genocide and divest from companies with direct or indirect ties to Israel. Ozturk's attorney says no charges have been filed to her knowledge and that she's been unable to contact her client. ICE detention records updated today say that Ozturk is now in ICE custody in Bazille, Louisiana. Tufts president says the school had no pre-knowledge of this incident and did not share any information with federal authorities prior to the event. Adding, from what we have been told subsequently, the student's visa status has been terminated, and we seek to confirm whether that information is true. The arrest comes on the heels of the high-profile detention of Columbia grad student activist and permanent resident Mahmoud Khalil in New York, spreading fear in the community.
The fact that someone can just be disappeared into the abyss for voicing an idea is absolutely horrifying.
Antonia Hilton joins us now in studio. So, Antonia, we're hearing that the attorney for that student has filed a habeas petition with the court. Walk our viewers through what that means.
A habeas petition is basically a fancy term for a legal action where you're asking a court to determine, is this person's imprisonment or detention even legal in the first place? So that's what Ozturk's attorney is trying to find out here. But part of what's at issue right now is the fact that she is now in the state of Louisiana. This is after a judge specifically said the government should not bring her out of Massachusetts without notifying them. The open question is whether this happened, the transfer happened before that order came down. A whole lot of open questions in this case, Tom. Yeah.
Here we go again, right, Jim? We got to look at the timing of all of this. Was she shipped to Louisiana after the court order? They're just pushing the limits constantly in all of this and clouding up the issues. It's just outrageous. And of course, no day in court for her.
Yeah, right. Where's the due process?
Exactly. And those are the key issues. At the highest level, John, you just identified this issue, which is we are still a nation where the rule of law applies. And what that means, whether you're James Boasberg, who's the federal judge on that Venezuelan matter involving the immigrants, the plane taking off, when was that? After he directed that it not go into the sky? When did this happen exactly? And how exactly was this young student from Tufts transferred? When did that happen? And what we're seeing here, as you just indicated so well, is a pattern number one of either doing things in anticipation that a judge is going to tell us no, which can also get you in trouble, candidly, as a representative of the government, but also perhaps doing things even after courts have said, stop doing this. And that's the really scary pattern, right? Again, we've seen that with Donald Trump in so many of these instances involving firings, involving Musk team access, involving USAID and domestic funding, all kinds of things. And the president more and more simply saying, no, we've got an attorney general. We've got a president. We've got a West Wing that said, that federal judges, number one, they should be name called. We should deride who they are. And oh, by the way, we should think about impeaching them if they issue orders that we do not like. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about this, I'm sure. We've got a Speaker of the House of Representatives who's likewise talking about retribution. At mm-hmm. the highest level, that's where this is so very problematic. Obviously, even more stunning and chilling is the individual impact upon this young woman, upon the young Columbia student, who is plainly, again, being apprehended in the streets. Yes, indeed, law enforcement with probable cause, often with warrants, most often with warrants, can do that. But the question, once again, is what is your probable cause? What is the process you're going to afford? And all of this, to the larger point, has got to be transparent. It's the reason why our courts are open to the public, the media, everyone can go in and see what's happening when you've got officers who are apparently not identifying themselves, which is a basic concept. When you're pulled out in the dark of night and transported out of state where, again, you can't get access to family, presumably now she does have legal counsel. All these things are a part of a pattern that simply says, we don't care about the traditions of James Madison and our Constitution. We're going to do whatever we want. And we're also going to do this. This is now the second, if not the third instance, where we've got a student who is doing what? All right. We don't have to agree with her, him. You and I don't have to agree, right? Can I write an op-ed piece? Of course I can. Sure. Can I just stand on my soapbox and not at every circumstances, but under appropriate circumstances, can I articulate my views that may not be shared by everyone? That's what we cherish in this country. And the fact that you're advocating for things that not everybody agrees with, many people will, does not give you a basis to undermine your legal status here, conferred by the government. It is so problematic at so many levels that, again, one's head spins.
It really does. And, you know, the whole thing here is that they're using these protests. This is a perfect time for them. This is a moment where they can take advantage of the protests for the Palestinian people and twist it into some kind of support for Hamas. And they're doing this all the time, regardless of how many people were in the crowd that may support Hamas. It doesn't matter. You have no control over what other people think or are trying to do or their message. But it's support of Palestinians. That's what it was all about. She even wrote an editorial on it. And apparently that's way too much for the administration, and it conflicts with their policies. But that shouldn't have anything to do with the student and what she's doing. I mean, she's here for child studies. Precisely. My God, how dangerous do you think she is?
Right. And that goes to the other point. We've got now seven or eight of them, right? This is the essay question in a civics course. Identify all the problematic issues here. What are our universities all about? What has the Supreme Court said that our educational facilities, higher learning, all about? Places where the marketplace of ideas, that comes from the Supreme Court. The ideas are diverse. They can indeed be offensive to people. But that is not the basis upon which to say universities cannot and should not, frankly, invite into their campus and have voices of all kinds being heard. That's how we get education in this country. By testing other people, we can disagree with them. We can engage with groups. The whole concept of an education in America, especially at colleges, universities, trade schools, all those kinds of things, that's what we have cherished for so long, and the setting of this is also problematic.
Well, mostly it's for the chilling effect.
Exactly. I was just going to say that, you know, because they're taking these people, you know, in front of video cameras, and it does have a chilling effect to others who may be wanting to protest or just even express their views.
In fact, some of the people who actually, were captured in that video were asking, why are you wearing masks?
Yes.
Right? And now you can't wear masks on campus, but you can certainly wear them apprehending people on the street.
We will continue with Attorney Jim Santel on the Maggie Dawn Show. It's John Peterson, Gordy Young filling in on the Civic Media Radio Network.